A life that's worth living is a life that's lived on purpose, with a purpose. Sometimes it's not until we reach out beyond ourselves that we discover what life is all about. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again as we take another look at your amazing life from a different perspective. And please stay tuned, because at the end of the message, I'll be telling you about the current life application booklet from Christianity Works. It's called Three Things I Absolutely Must Do Before I Die. I'd love to send you a copy to help you live this amazing life that Jesus died and rose again to give you. The one big problem that I see with the whole me thing is that we all try to live that out at some point in our lives, but it lacks purpose. As my wonderful auntie always used to say, Bernie, you can only live in one house, sleep in one bed, and drive one car at a time. You know something? She has a point. Once we have a home and food and money to a certain basic level, truly, the rest doesn't matter. I know a man who's wealthy beyond anything I can imagine. He'd be well into his 60s by now, and he continues to work these incredibly long hours to make more money. I'm not sure what the next bit should say. What for? Well, why does he do that? When is enough enough? I mean, what's the purpose of life? What's your purpose? Well, when is enough enough? And what am I on this planet for? What are you on this planet for? I wonder why it is that we allow ourselves to be duped into thinking that if we can only jump to the next stepping stone in our journey of things and stuff and having and acquiring and spending and all that stuff, if only we can get to the next stepping stone, then we'll be happy. There's every chance that you and I come from different social backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different cultures and outlooks and wants and needs. But one thing that's not different is that we all need to be fulfilled. There comes a point where we're full of stuff. My auntie was a wise philosopher. I thought she was stupid when I was in my 20s and 30s at that age where it was all about accumulating wealth. It was all about establishing a career. It was all about making money. But actually, as much as I tried, it never filled me up. It always left me empty and hollow. I spent a lot of money trying. Expensive houses, expensive sound systems, artworks, holidays. You know, with the holidays, you can jet off business class to some expensive resort and have everything laid on and live in the lap of luxury, and yet still feel empty. I know. And I knew that somehow I wasn't living the life that God always intended for me. You know what? My hunch is it's all part of God's plan that stuff won't fill us up. Instead of being fulfilled, you get this bloated, empty feeling happening. The Apostle Paul, a couple of thousand years ago, I love the stuff that Paul writes in the New Testament. He was writing to his protege, Timothy. If you have a Bible, you can look it up yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. This is what Paul wrote. We often misquote this. Just about everyone has heard it. He wrote, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in people's eagerness to be rich, they've wandered away from God and pierced themselves with many pains." You see, most often people say that money is the root of all evil. But money is God's idea. Wealth is God's idea. Goods and things and food and houses and car, they're God's idea. And in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with them. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money which is the root of all kinds of evil. In our eagerness to be rich, we've wandered away from God and pierced ourselves with many pains. I really relate to that. I spent a good quarter of a century chasing after money. You know, chasing after money sounds like such a good plan. I mean, why shouldn't we be wealthy? Why shouldn't we drive flash cars? Why shouldn't we have big houses? But if that's the purpose of our lives, if that's the one thing that we're chasing after above everything else, it ends up in a whole bunch of pain and hurt. They've wandered away from God because they've been chasing after money, and in so doing, pierced themselves with many pains. I wonder if you can relate to that, because I certainly can. Here's how it works. Doesn't matter how much we have, we never have enough. I was talking about a man at the beginning of the program, and he's in his 60s, and he's wealthy beyond anything I can imagine. He has a massive mansion. He and his wife live in this huge house on this huge property just a few miles from the center of a large city. The place is worth a fortune. And not only that, they have a huge holiday house overlooking the ocean and more cash and stocks and investments and companies than you and I can really figure. And the people in those companies are really only tools for making money. And no matter how much he has, you never see a quiet contentment, a quiet joy, a quiet peace in his character, in his countenance. He's always feverish. He's always under pressure. I mean, the guy's well into his 60s. He doesn't need any more money. What on earth is he doing? What on earth are we here for? My hunch is we're here for a life of significance, and significance only happens in community. I mean, imagine a virtuoso violinist, but she has no audience. What good is the violinist? Imagine the butcher or the hairdresser, but they have no customers. Imagine someone who would make a great husband, but he has no wife. Life only matters because of our relationships, doesn't it? And significance happens when we reach out beyond ourselves and touch others. See, for me, significant means really, really, really enjoying my relationship with God and then sharing his love with others. That's what makes me tick. That's what I live for. You may have heard me say before this week, it's almost exactly a decade and a half since I became a Christian, since I took that step and sat under a tree and said, Lord Jesus, I give you my life and everything I am and everything I have, and I'm not holding anything back from you. Now, up to that point in my life, I was rich in wealth, in money, but I was dissatisfied because it was empty and shallow, and something happened that instant that I invited Jesus into my life. Something awesome. It's like the black and white TV became color all of a sudden. You know what I mean? It's like God breathed some life into you, and your circumstances, because I was going through some bad stuff at the point, they didn't change overnight, but I changed, and God's been changing me ever since. Day by day, little by little, just quietly walking with Jesus. And sometimes making radical decisions for Christ, sometimes saying, you know, I'm going to sell my IT consulting firm, I'm going to move away from that and give up that life because God is calling me to tell his story on this radio station. And the two things that really shape my day, they both happen first up in the morning, every morning almost, is early in the morning when almost everyone is still asleep and it's still dark outside. I spend time doing two things, praying and reading God's word, the Bible. And it's the most wonderful time of the day, that dark, quiet time when no one else is around. You can't do that sort of thing for any period of time without getting a heart to use everything he has given us and everything he has made us to touch other people with that love and that joy and that peace and that contentment. They come from two things, from a connection upwards to God and a connection outwards so that God's love overflowing through us can go out to other people. What about you? Are you living the life God always intended? Have you got that fantastic connection upward? Not because you're Mr. or Mrs. Super Christian, just because you spend some time quietly with Jesus. Are you living that connection outwards quietly and some days radically letting his love overflow through you into the rest of the world? Do you spend time walking in the cool of the morning with him? And then in the day, walking through the fire with him, can I ask you this? Are you living the life that God always intended for you? We only get one crack at this life. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to make sure that mine counts for something. I want to make sure that the life that I lead and the life that you lead take us to the eternal destiny that we're all hoping for. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Three Things I Absolutely Must Do Before I Die, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the life, the eternal life, that Jesus came to bring. And at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you apply God's word right into your realities. So, to request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time on Monday, with a different perspective.